What if kittens played the glockenspiel? And what if unicorns were real? What if you could fly or travel back in time? We welcome you to What If World. What if world? This is What If World.
Hey there, folks, and welcome back to What If World, the show where your questions and ideas inspire off-the-cuff stories. I'm Mr. Eric, your host, and before we get to today's story, I just want to remind you about our ongoing art contest. We've got our P.O. box listed in this episode description, but you can also scan us a copy of some artwork, or even just take a picture. One young artist will have their work help inspire their very own What If story. Not to mention, we'll use it as the episode artwork. That means thousands of people are gonna see it. I've only got a few submissions so far, but I have hundreds upon hundreds of questions. So sending in your artwork is gonna give you a really good shot at a story. Speaking of which, let's hear our first question from Paige.
Hello, my name is Paige. I really like golden retrievers, and my What If World question is, what if you wish for something, you got it right beside you? Thank you, bye.
Ooh, that's a good question. I love golden retrievers too, although the closest I ever got was having a black lab as a kid. All right, Paige, we're going to add in one more question from Myla.
Hi, my name is Myla, and my question for Mr. Eric is, what if my scientist had to wear diapers and I forgot to say I'm 6 years old? Bye.
That is a good one, Myla. Folks at home, don't worry. We're still going to keep this episode clean. Just keep your fingers crossed there won't be any accidents. All right, what if mad scientists had to wear diapers? And if you wish for something, you got it right beside you. Professor Moosh was a brilliant inventor, especially for a baby. And his best friend, arch nemesis, and big sister was a golden retriever named Dr. Knows-It-All. Now, most days they spent working together to take over What If World. But today, while their parents were at work, Professor Moosh and Dr. Knows-It-All were stuck at Labby Love, a maximum security daycare for young mad scientists. "Be very, very quiet," said Professor Moosh, his diaper crinkling ever so slightly. "I'm building robots."
"You're always building robots," said Dr. Knows-It-All.
"That's not true. Sometimes I play with the robots.
Oh, no. Well, if you want me not to make any noise, then I want you to not make any smells."
"Okay, I'll stop in just a minute. Then we can get back to work."
"It doesn't matter. Nothing we do is gonna help us break out of here."
"That's what you think. I don't care if this place has 10-foot-thick adenobranium walls, a fusion-powered child safety field.
Don't forget the water bottle that squirts me when I try to dig out."
"Labby Love is certainly the most devious prison ever invented for mad scientist babies."
"I know we're rival mad scientists, brother and sister, but the only chance of escape I smell comes from us."
"Mostly me."
"Yes, mostly you. But it comes from us, building a machine together."
And so Professor Moosh and Dr. Knows-It-All combined their sciency, robot-y, computer-y, quantum genius brains and worked together on the same machine. And a bunch more sciency sounds later, they were finished.
"You see, when we work together, we are unstoppable."
"Yes, nothing can keep us trapped now that we've built our..."
"Burp me, machine."
"Take me on Fox, machine."
What?
And as they activated the robot, it started walking around in circles and burping a lot.
"This is not what I expected."
"Yeah, I'm surprised it works at all.
You know what I really want?
A robot that, if you wish for something, you got it right beside you?
Actually, yes. That's exactly what I was thinking. But how could we invent such a machine when we can barely work together?
Why don't we just ask G-I-R-B-Y?
You mean Jerby, the get-it-right-beside-you robot who's been trapped inside the Labby Love daycare with us all along?
Yeah, let's ask Jerby. I think Jerby is right over.
She's right in front of us.
Dr. Knows-It-All sniffs it again. Oh, Dr. Knows-It-All and Professor Mushpants, I'm so happy you're finally including me.
I'm sorry we've been ignoring you for the last several minutes.
Your smell was being overpowered by nearby diapers. Please tell me, what made Jerby get right beside you?
Only you have the power to make this for us.
Yes, we want, yes.
A get-what-I-want machine. So go ahead and make that right beside you.
Very well. And Jerby,
3D printed right out of her tummy, a GWIWM, or get-what-I-want machine.
It's perfect. Let me test it out. I want a new smart leash.
Quirwim makes leash. Wow, it works like magic. Okay, Quirwim.
But Dr. Knows-It-All interrupted her brother.
Make me 1,000 rocket-powered tennis balls.
Quirwim makes...
And tennis balls started firing out of Quirwim's chest in every direction.
Oh boy, maybe I should print myself a helmet or...
But Dr. Knows-It-All kept interrupting her little brother, just asking for things she wanted.
A doghouse made of lasers.
A life-size chewable mail carrier robot. And before Professor Moosh could get a word in edgewise, the daycare was half full of stuff only Dr. Knows-It-All wanted.
I can't stop her from making whatever she wants. Wait a second. I could just use Jerby.
And the little deep blue robot popped right up beside Professor Moosh.
Oh, happy day. I knew you'd figure out that I can make whatever you want, for I am a get-it-right-beside-you robot.
And that's why I need you.
Yes?
To get me.
Uh-huh.
A Gwilym 2.0.
Oh.
And just like that, Jerby had made a bigger, better, faster get-what-I-want machine. And Professor Mush started filling the daycare with things he wanted.
A pacifier that passes fire. A 10-foot tall, indestructible, two-headed mommy-daddy robot.
We love you, son.
An invisible diaper.
Bleep.
You know what? Scratch that. A visible diaper would be fine.
Dr. Knows-It-All and Professor Moosh kept filling the daycare with more and more things, pushing each other farther away, until...
Professor Moosh, I can barely smell you.
That's because we're smooshed into opposite walls by all these toys we made.
Well, at least we have lots of stuff to play with.
But we don't have any room to play.
You're right. There is such thing as too much. I can hardly smell anything apart.
Okay, let's just make a disintegrator.
Gwilym and Gwilym 2.0 gave an error message.
Oh, that's right. The fusion-powered child safety field.
It won't let a disintegrator work.
What about a teleporter to get some of this stuff out of here?
If teleporters could work inside the field, do you think we'd still be here?
Just then, Jerby, the get-it-right-beside-you robot, pushed through the ocean of toys and reached out to Professor Moosh with a shrink ray.
Jerby, you're a genius!
Finally, you have recognized my potential. What's that, a shrink ray?
Yeah, are you thinking what I'm thinking?
I think I know what you're both thinking.
Jerby, I want you.
Yes?
To tell Gwilym.
Yes?
To make me a machine that makes shrink buttons that I can put on stuff to make it shrink.
You two are really thick, said Gwilym 2.0.
but it made the MTMSBTICPOSTMIS just the same.
Hey, machine that makes shrink buttons that I could put on stuff to make it shrink.
Please, you may call me Madame Spittic Postbiss for short.
Madame Spittic Postbiss, can you make us a bunch of shrink buttons?
What? Huh? Just kidding.
And every little last bit of spare space started filling up with attachable shrink buttons. And so, swimming around in their ocean of toys, Professor Moosh and Dr. Nose-It-All took shrink button after shrink button and attached it to every too big toy they'd made. And every giant toy and ball and bot shrunk down until it was no bigger than your fist.
Why'd everything shrink down to the same size?
Asked Dr. Nose-It-All.
Child safety field, said Professor Moosh, trying to stick the indestructible mom and dad bot into his mouth.
Any smaller would be a choking hazard.
We love you, son.
Even if you eat us.
Professor Moosh, Dr. Nose-It-All, and Jerby stacked up all the shrunken toys like blocks and then sat down in sudden silence.
Now all I can think about is how Mom and Dad have been gone forever.
You're lucky. I don't understand object permanence, so I think they stopped existing.
Just like when they play peekaboo.
You're both lucky. You love each other. But I gave you everything you wanted, and you don't even respect me. Oh, we thought you liked giving us what we want all the time.
Just like our parents.
No, I'm a person too. Well, a robot person.
I guess we all have to listen to what each other want more often.
Well, I would like to play charades. I'm really good at charades.
Because you 3D print the exact clue
because
every
time. Because I 3D print the exact clue every time.
Okay, let's play a few rounds.
And when they all started playing nicely with each other, time just flew by. Before they knew it, their mom and dad were there to pick them up.
Oh, Professor Moosh, Dr. Nose-It-All.
Wow, the day's over already?
That's right. Your indestructible 10-foot doll two-headed mommy-daddy robot is here to pick you up. Looks like you two made a new friend today.
Wow, you must have had so much fun.
Yeah, we had about 1.5 diapers worth of fun.
Yeah, each.
Uh-oh. The end.
All right, Paige and Myla, I hope you enjoyed your story. Folks at home, I hope you've been enjoying the show. I'd like to thank Karen Marshall O'Keefe, our editor and producer, Jason O'Keefe for our artwork, Craig Martinson for our theme song, and all you kids at home who know that a real friendship isn't all giving and getting. Good friends try out each other's favorite things. Try something your friend likes. See if they'll try something you like. If you keep an open mind, you might both end up liking something new. Until we meet again, keep wondering.